every entrepreneur has been there. Growing pains
obstacles make you
growth
stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
The Company Growth Podcast inspires you to keep going through the pain. I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
None of us really have had a business interest. It was more we wanted to create stuff and do things. That's our sole purpose. And then, you know, the turning a profit has been the other side of it. And we're still learning how to do all of that. We do all kinds of things. So we could do, it could be as simple as a 3D reproduction, where we take a mold off an artifact, or we may scan it and reproduce it.
This is the voice of Matthew Fair, General Manager at Research Casting International, a company that builds models and replicas mostly for museums, which means they often get to build dinosaur replicas, the same ones you see in an exhibit when you go to a museum. Listen to Matt tell more about his fascinating line of work.
Right down to complete exhibit halls. So for instance, the Smithsonian, we did 75 or so different dinosaur skeletons for them. We also did a reproduction of a coal mine from Pocahontas, Virginia. I mean, we've done a 50-foot tall volcano in Niagara Falls as well. So it's really, you know, our biggest market currently is probably the museum market. And then we're looking to expand into, natural history museums is our biggest market. We're looking to expand more into history museums, zoos, aquaria, and theme parks, and also into the movie industry a little bit more.
Because you can make the props and the scenes for the theme park rides.
Yeah, so that's basically the idea is we have, you know, a number of services and technical capabilities, and it's really using the same services and technical capabilities to create a different product that we can sell to a different market. So that's our intent.
There's dinosaurs in the Ottawa Nature Museum that I think you guys molded and fit, didn't you, on the main floor?
We did several skeletons for the museum in Ottawa. We also did all those fleshed out dinosaurs that are in one of the back rooms on the first floor. We did a Triceratops and Displetosaur for the museum, as well as several other skeletons in there. And then upstairs, we did a limestone cave that shows all the different formations. So we went around and molded actual sites and reproduced the cast out of a thin concrete. And it's on exhibit there.
So Research Casting works mainly with museums, but there's another place that needs dinosaur models from experienced designers. Matt fills me in on the details, but look at how he thinks about where his skills and the product that they can create can work perfectly well for a whole new market, bringing in new revenue for the company.
We did some of the rock work in Dinoland USA, and it was specifically where the dinosaurs were. In the actual ride part, and I know the name of the ride has changed since we did it, we did a couple of skeletons that are in the line for waiting. We also supplied numerous skeletal parts that are scattered sort of throughout the entire section. We worked on Islands of Adventure too at Universal on some of the reproductions over there of skeletal parts.
What's one thing all business leaders have to deal with? Crunch time. Since Matt makes products for such a specific clientele with specific requirements, I wanted to know how he deals with time management and tight deadlines.
Well, there's different types of crunch time. So there's deadlines, which are ones that you have to be wary of what the costs are involved in getting the project done, but we also stand by our record of making sure we get our projects done on time. It's one of the things we always focus on. So that's a crunch time thing. And then there's also issues of the ups and downs in the market. So what happens is sometimes you're very busy and sometimes you're not. So what we've tried to do, and that's one of the ideas of the traveling exhibits, was that when we're not busy, we start building product for ourselves that we can then turn around and market in a different area. So we've kind of geared ourselves towards smaller museums and more rural areas that wouldn't necessarily get a dinosaur. And that's what we're trying to do with that. So that's that up and down and a way of alleviating it. It doesn't mean that, you know, every worry goes away with cash flow and everything that else that happens with that. But it's what we're attempting to do now, as well as moving into new markets like playgrounds. And we're going to reintroduce ourselves into the bronze and aluminum casting for artists very soon.
We're used to talking about how the pandemic affected the economy, but I was sure that COVID would affect Research Casting International in a unique way, because the business itself is so unique. Here's what Matt had to say about it.
We shut down for 2.5 months at the beginning. We didn't necessarily need to do that. We did it as a precaution for our staff and also to help out with our community and our commitment to making sure that we're not carrying on or trying to spread this disease further. But what we did do, we were very lucky in the fact that 2 weeks prior to the first shutdown, we had just finished a major deinstall at the Yale Peabody Museum. And typically on some of our bigger projects, they may last, you know, 2 to 4 years, and it happens to be a 4-year project. So we were very lucky in the case that we were at the breakdown stage just prior to it. And then everything after that for the next 2 years is a build stage, and it's all done in-house. So then we don't have to go back on site. Mm-hmm. But we have had some issues with obviously COVID and traveling to the United States, because they're one of our biggest clients. We have to have crews in there installing. So right now we have 2 crews in the United States doing installations. And, you know, then you have to factor in quarantine on the way into the U.S., quarantine on the way out. And then also we're moving from state to state. There's sometimes requirements for further quarantine between the states or regions. I'm pretty sure, well, I know it's hurt our bottom line. There's no question of that. Definitely, you know, some of the help from the government has been beneficial in keeping some of our staff on board. Through that initial 2-month shutdown, we kept every single employee employed and paid for that period of time, which we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
No business leader is born ready to be successful. We all have to learn how to lead. I asked Matt what he needed to learn most when he was starting out in his leadership position of growing his organization.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, every day I learn something new with business, and I didn't go to school for business. Everything I've learned has been, you know, through 2-day courses or the school of hard knocks, and also asking questions to people that we know around in the area. But I feel like, you know, every day we learn something new about the business or how to do business. We're kind of a unique business in the fact that it essentially started out as a bunch of people that were in fine arts or had interest in making things. And none of us really have had a business interest. It was more we wanted to create stuff and do things for the different museums and communities. And that's where that's our sole purpose. And then, you know, the turning a profit has been the other side of it. And we're still learning how to do all of that.
But leading a company is not just about how you lead. When a company is successful, it's also about leading during a crisis. So I asked Matt the tough question. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, what was the toughest struggle Research Casting had faced?
Well, probably 2008 was the last really tough period that we went through. With the recession, basically we needed to find work very quickly. We were very busy through 2008. It was 2009 when it really started to affect us. And And typically in the past, when there's been a recession, we tend to do better in sales. But because of it being the financial crisis that it was, a lot of that infrastructure money that would normally go out to be spent to kickstart the economy went directly into financial institutions. And I don't know that it ever really got into the economy the same way that it has in the past. But again, we started looking at other areas to expand into, and one of them was the playground area. So we have a company called Exploration Playgrounds, which is really just a department of research casting.
And so when you needed to find money quickly, you diversified your product range and you found a market.
Yes.
How did you figure that out?
That is basically how it is.
Like, how did you figure out that you couldn't sell to museums, the infrastructure money wasn't there, but you could sell into playgrounds?
That's a tough question. Because the answer is I don't really know. It just sort of, we sit around and we brainstorm things, and certain ideas come up, or we look at things we've done in the past. So we constantly get asked to do, different jobs because of our skills. And if it's one that we sort of take an interest in, we bookmark it or think about it later on of how can we utilize that? How could we expand in that area? We talked about working at Dinoland USA, and that was in 1996, I believe, when we were working on that project. It could have been 95. But at that time, that's when the idea of working on playgrounds came up. But we sort of set it on the back burner for, I would say, 2007. We started really thinking about it, and then the recession hit. So we really pushed to sort of diversify. And prior to that, I guess, was in 2000 was when we initially opened our bronze foundry. And we ran that right through until 2014, and then we shut it down until last November. And the reason for that was we just simply didn't have the space because of a large project we had in here, and we needed all of the foundry space to do the other work in.
And that's why you're bringing it back now, years later, you're trying to get the foundry
we're bringing the bronze side back. We're creating our own product line. We're also looking to do work for not just local artists, but we're going to start out locally, and also introducing aluminum into the mix as a casting material.
Sometimes our biggest learning moments come from hardship. I asked Matt to tell us about what that looked like before the pandemic.
My least favorite time is the possibility of layoffs. We've had to do it twice in the 30 years I've been here. And both of the, because the way we run the business too, is so we're a close-knit group and we all want to be friends, and we realize we're business colleagues first, friends second. But it's tough when you have to make those kinds of decisions, and you just don't want to be there, so you try however you can to avoid it. But to me, that's my least favorite thing that we have to deal with. Well, I can tell you another thing that's one of my least favorite things of being in leadership is I really enjoy making things and creating things. And as that leadership role grows, the areas that you really enjoy doing diminish a little bit more, so you're not actually being as creative every day or going out and figuring out how to, what nut goes there, what bolt, what equipment do you need. And I thoroughly enjoy doing all of those things, but we've gotten to the size where we have too many projects for one person to work on, and that's one of the things I dislike, is not being able to physically work on everything. favorite things, though, one of my favorite things is probably looking through the new projects that come in and figuring out what we are going to do with that team that quotes on it, and also visiting with the client and seeing their collections and, you know, seeing how we can make that better. And when you see the finished product, and it is, you know, some of these things are monumental, like the Barosaur in New York City at the American Museum of Natural History is one of the, you know, most well-known dinosaurs probably around. And then 4 years ago or 5 years ago, we did Hope the Blue Whale at the Natural History Museum in London. And, you know, to have something you worked on as a centerpiece in a museum is pretty important and pretty amazing, I think. Like, that's what drives us.
In business, we sometimes take big risks to achieve bigger growth. I asked Matt if there are any big risk moments for Research Casting, and he shared.
Yeah, so it was for the Smithsonian job, and one of the things we needed to do is create a more secure, climate-controlled space. So basically what we did is built a building within a building that's got its own security and climate control in it. It's got different levels of security. And what we needed that for was the collections, because when the Smithsonian closed, all of their fossil collections that were on exhibit ended up coming to Research Casting in Canada, and that's got a large value associated with it. And as much as probably theft isn't the biggest fear, fire is probably one of them, and natural disaster. So, we even have a smoke detector system that's off a nuclear reactor in that room to monitor it. But what that has allowed us to do is we're probably the only company in North America that has a facility like that that's recognized by the American Museums Association. So we can sell that when we do big projects for museums that have fossil, that we have a collections room that's sprinklered and has smoke detection, video cameras, you name it.
So they have full trust that you have the same degree of temperature control on the artifacts management that you need to make your molds and to cast.
Definitely. And in some cases, we have a better facility than some of the smaller to medium museums do.
After hearing about Matt's long and successful career, the one last thing I wanted to know was what he thought the secret to company growth was, and how do you get there?
Do we really know what gets you there? I think it's hard work, grit, and just putting your head down sometimes. And sometimes, you know, there's weeks where you don't get paid. It's as simple as that. So your staff gets paid.
For more information on Research Casting International, visit rescast.com. That's rescast.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/Company Growth Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.